Chapter 12. The Chinese use firecrackers to keep the demons away. Duff and Sean applied the same principle. They kept the mill running. As long as its clunking carried across the valley to the ears of their creditors, all was well. Everyone accepted the fact that they were working a payable reef and left them alone. But the money they fed into the front of the mill had halved its value by the time it came out of the other side in those pathetic little yellow pellets. In the meantime, they cut their trench, tearing into the earth in a race against settlement day. They fired dynamite, and as the last stones dropped back out of the sky, they were in again, coughing with the fumes, to clear the loosened rock and start drilling the next set of holes. It was summer. The days were long, and while it was light, they worked. Some evenings they lit the last fuses by lantern light. Sand fell through the hourglass faster than they had bargained for. The money dribbled away, and on the 15th of February, Duff shaved himself, changed his shirt, and went to see Candy about another loan. Sean watched him walk away down the slope. They had sold the horses a week before, and he said a small prayer, the first for many years. Duff came back in the late morning. He stood on the edge of the trench and watched Sean tamping in the charges for the next cut. Sean's back was shiny with sweat, each individual muscle standing out in relief, swelling and subsiding as he moved. "That's the stuff, laddie. Keep at it." Sean looked up with dust-reddened eyes. "How much?" he asked. "Another 50. This is the last, or so she threatens." Sean's eyes fastened on the package Duff held under his arm. "What's that?" He could see the stains seeping through the brown paper, and the saliva flooded out from under his tongue. "Prime beef chops. No mealy-meal porridge for lunch today," Duff grinned at him. "Meat," Sean caressed the word. "Underdone, bleeding a little as you bite it. A trace of garlic, just enough salt." "And you beside me singing in the wilderness," agreed Duff. "Cut out the poetry, light those fuses, and let's go and eat." An hour later they walked side by side along the bottom of their trench, Mbijani and his Zulus crowding behind them. Sean belched. "Ah, pleasant memory. I'll never be able to look another plate of mealy-meal in the face again." They reached the end where the freshly broken earth and rock lay piled. Sean felt the thrill start in his hands, tingle up his arms and squeeze his lungs. Then Duff's fingers were biting into his shoulder. He could feel them trembling. It looked like a snake, a fat grey python, crawling down one wall of the trench, disappearing under the heap of new rubble and out the other side. Duff moved first. He knelt and picked up a piece of the reef, a big grey mottled lump of it, and kissed it. "It must be it. Hey, Duff! It must be the leader. It's the end of the rainbow. No more mealy meal," Sean said softly, and Duff laughed. Then Sean laughed. Wildly, crazily, together they howled their triumph.